one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a great day, man. We certainly are. And it's been fun today because the uncertainty of still not knowing remains. It's out there. It's just, we're just waiting.
Who is QB1?
We're just waiting, man. No news on Michael Penix. Guy says to me, Mike, about Kevin Stefanski can't know what he has yet. It's impossible. Penix has only had 12 starts for this team.
Right. And 2 years ago, and of course last season.
And he says Stefanski's been in the building. Mike hasn't been cleared to play. How can he know that he has what he's got? Or what he's got? Does he know? Mm-hmm. It's a fair question. Yeah, he's seen him spin it, but you just turn on the tape. That you know he can make the throws. That's not a question. But it's can he execute what we're trying to do? And we won't know that again until he's fully cleared. But that is the news, guys, as we continue to wait and hopefully hear something. But as I said, I don't think that's going to happen today. It's a regular practice day for the Falcons, and then they'll play their second preseason game tomorrow. You can listen here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game against the Indianapolis Colts. 11 o'clock pregame, 1 o'clock kick, and then they will head back to the A. And, you know, look, you're not out there. I thought Brian McFadden made a good point. This is what I've been saying for years. Mm-hmm. If it didn't matter, don't do it. If it doesn't matter, then just take it off the schedule and let's not do it.
Right.
These preseason games, they matter, but they matter in a different way. And it matters because of the reps. It matters of the work. It's about the work. It's not about the wins or losses. And so you've got to get that in. And BMAC mentioned that, like, hey, that's why you want to see guys perform in that atmosphere before you get to the regular season. And the way things are looking, to your point, as we started the show, because I'm like, well, if he's cleared this weekend, he'll play next Friday. And Mike's like, whoa, because he may not.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what we're all rolling with, man, the idea that, you know, trying to advance a timeline, which, look, and by the way, I said this to you yesterday.
What's that?
Stefanski, they said Matt Ryan, Ian, they might have known all this from the jump. They were never going to go any sooner than 9 months from the jump. That's what the doctors, the medical staff signed off on. And that's always been like, I guess, the media, we chase our tails because we're looking for a story. We're trying to figure out who's going to win this job. Because it's kind of important to have a quarterback. And Tua, you know, as we said, we've discussed everything that he's done that's good and the last couple of years, and not as good, you know. He's been a guy that I thought, you know, was on the verge of having the Dolphins become a perennial playoff team. And some of this, I think, was his coach. I think his coach will maybe get another chance to be a head coach at some point. He's an assistant now with the Chargers, but it just went off the rails. And now, how does he reinvent? And so you got a chance to impress your fan base. He doesn't give a crap about the fan base, but let's be honest. The first thing you got to see Tua do, it wasn't good. You know, and he misses a snap. And missing a snap is the Cardinals' sin for a quarterback, and then it happened again. Most people didn't see it. We heard about it in the scrimmage. So he's off to a rocky start. That doesn't mean he can't still get it together, talking about Tua, in the next few weeks.
No doubt, man. So more on this coming up, and we will continue to explore some of the things we know and some of the things we don't know. Plus, we'll play a fun game in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay there. Now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Georgia's going to have their second inter-squad scrimmage tomorrow. So hopefully Kirby's going to find out more about his team. But guys, Kirby was all about soccer last night. And Day-Day mentioned it to you. They break the record for attendance. And congratulations to the dogs. All the teams were there. And Kirby mentioned that 25,000 in attendance. But can we hear Kirby talk to the soccer squad about getting ready for this moment?
This is awesome. I'm so pumped for me to use this place. Everybody out there is ready to see y'all have success. I just went upstairs and every athlete in the whole department is up there excited to watch y'all play. We want to see y'all compete and get after it, okay? One special thing about us when we come over and play here. When we come play in this stadium, it's different. And y'all are playing on our grass, okay? So since 2020, we're 34-1. 2 ain't happening tonight, okay? Y'all get after that ass. Go.
Yeah, and they did. And look, I told you they all know. They all listen. I don't know what our record is here. We don't worry about that. Really? He knows, and it's important. And so as that message was delivered to the ladies. They delivered, and they went big. And I just
Six-zip.
Yeah, I just thought it was a big moment, man, not only for the soccer program, but I think it shows the unity of Georgia and where they are as an athletic program.
Right. Everybody's rock solid. There's solidarity there. You heard Kirby talk about everybody in all the athletic department is there. So baseball, everybody, football players, basketball, everyone's out there to support the ladies. You brought it up first time since the Olympics in 96. The women have been out there and soccer at Sanford Stadium. How cool is that?
It's great, man. So, again, continued success. I hope that all the programs thrive. We talk about this. It's nice to be good in football. It's expected. But you need to be good in everything else, right? Everything. There's no reason a basketball program should be making runs to the NCAA tournament. Elite Eight, Final Fours, right? The baseball team this year was really damn good. Right. They didn't get
it done.
That was
a hell of a story, though.
But they got it. They went far. That's what is expected across the board with the athletic program.
Well, the biggest thing is you see Mike White and you see Georgia and you say, okay, where is this going here? Now, look. The Alabama basketball coach, I'm sorry, fans, he had an ethics bypass at birth, okay? It's a little dirty, but they're having results. Bruce Pearl, he was a little icky on the margins, but he had success at Auburn. Why can't Georgia produce that? Tennessee's always been solid in basketball for decades. And Kentucky's obviously speaks for itself. But that's
Rick Barnes hadn't won anything, and I told you he wouldn't. Go ahead.
There's always a feeling there's a ceiling with Rick Barnes, right? But anyway, and Mike White, so far, there's a ceiling. You're in the tournament, you get bounced in the first round. And that's got to change too. Take that in another direction.
Then you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say in regards to Kirby, like that's something we saw a lot of him this year. If you watch a lot of his pressers, anytime any of the other programs were getting ready for some type of moment that could have been monumental for that program, he always kind of opened the presser. He's been doing a lot of opening some of his pressers with acknowledging what's coming ahead. So with the soccer attendance thing, this week's presser on Tuesday, I want to say, that's the first thing he kind of opened up with. So he's been doing a lot of that kind of like you said, that promotion within, it seems like it's coming from, if you want to say he's the top, it's coming from the top.
That's cool, though. I mean, I'm not sure Alabama fans could tell us if Saban did that or other coaches, high-profile coaches. I remember Bruce Pearl used to support the ladies, famously there with his shirt off.
That's right.
Right over on the plane. So that's kind of cool. But Todd Golden is just a better coach than Mike White. He replaced him at Florida, and you've seen the results. I mean, Nate Oates is just – look, I'm not a fan of Nate Oates, but, I mean, he's the results speak for itself. Why can't Georgia do that?
Yeah, it's a valid point, man. But last night was all about the soccer team and the ladies, and so congratulations. What about the football team, though? Kirby was talking about what he's seeing from the wide receiver room. This is what he said.
Receivers don't get to just go out and have success on their own. They have to have a lot of things happen to have the success they want to have. They have to take advantage of opportunities they give, and they have to go against good people in competition. But it's more than just them in order to have a success. But if you said, am I pleased with their work habits and what they're doing? Absolutely, I am. I wouldn't say anybody in the room is dominating by any means. There's young players that are coming on fast, and by young, I mean first and second year, and then there's older players who are leading well and doing a tremendous job for us. So very pleased in that room.
Okay. And we were talking about the wide receivers and,
right.
Who's going to make those explosive plays. Look, he's saying he's pleased, but a lot goes into these guys having success. Got to block, Falcon fans. You got to have protection, and guys got to get open. I do feel good as we translate this to the Falcons, Mike, about what we're seeing with our receivers, Zachariah, Drake. These guys are getting open. Now, are they going to have time to get him the ball? That's right. Going to be one of the questions we'll have going into the NFL season. But Georgia's dealing with the same thing.
Right. And that video of – I mean, that's the thing. How do you replace a guy? Like, you can't. Zachariah Branch is going to – I think is going to – regardless, if we could finally get the situation straightened out with the quarterback of the Falcons, he is going to be a star in this league. He's got that sort of X factor, and he really does. I mean, he stops on a dime, the moves, faking guys out of their shorts, and then finishing, pow, and taking the DB to the ground. I love it. He should have gotten the ball. Well, he set records. So what? Give the ball even more. let him take a stab at fourth and one. Get him the ball. Get it in his hands. But that's the question. How do you replace that kind of playmaking? Will they have it? You touched on earlier, Kirby talking about the pass rush. Mark Schlabaugh wrote an article yesterday talking about Georgia has a lot of star power on defense, but are they going to get the quarterback? It's kind of funny. The world we lived in last year, Alabama couldn't run the ball and Georgia couldn't sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
It's a mixed up world. Kirby, by the way, I'm not saying this, and I don't think Kirby's saying it, but with them being in the preseason poll where they are? Are they flying under the radar? And my answer is no. Everybody knows what Georgia is.
You're top five in the country.
Everybody knows what Georgia is. I don't think they're flying under the radar. What did Kirby have to say about Gunnar Stockton? Because, again, we want to see him grow, and we'll find out more after this inter-squad scrimmage tomorrow to be their second. Here's Kirby.
Yeah, Gunner's improved immensely. I don't think it's in one area. I don't think it's I think it's confidence. I think it's his mental capacity to handle a lot of information at once, process that information, and yet still make good decisions. Confidence in the pocket, his movement skills in the pocket have improved. His awareness of protections have improved. His ability to handle the pressure of the shot clock, a nine-word call, the defenses we're throwing at him, and getting people lined up has improved. But he's done some good things this camp. You can see his growth kind of in a lot of areas, because some of it's leadership, some of it's mentorship, and some of it's just throwing ability and getting the ball downfield. So pleased with Gunner's growth and really pleased with his work ethic.
All right. Hey, like, we know there's an MO or a style of a kind of quarterback that Kirby wants. We talked about it yesterday or earlier in the week with Connor Riley and Mike Griffith. And they're going to ride and die with Gunnar Stockton, right? And how much does Bobo get more out of him? To all those things we've talked about, the explosive play, the fearlessness, not being afraid to maybe turn it over by really being a gunslinger.
He can't win the Heisman, can he?
Well, there's metrics and numbers he's going to have to put up. But the only guys who win Heismans are on good football teams. So he's on a good football team, so check that. And then if he goes all the way or certainly plays deep in the season and has some big wow moments, if he puts up a few more stats, let me think about the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
If he had a few more numbers to go with it, those are the kind of moments that win you the Heisman.
Yeah, I'm not saying he can't. It's just a question to me, as if I think he's got the team, to Mike's point. I think he's got the ability. Does it matter if they win the national championship and he doesn't? No. But it would be like a little feather in the cap, right, Mike? If you put up those kind of numbers, Georgia has a great year, and then Gunnar all of a sudden is in New York for the for the presentation.
Well, if you feel good about it, 20-1 right now in Vegas on Gunnar Stockton.
Okay, I'll take that.
Anywhere from 17.5, yeah, 17, yeah, plus 2,000 is 20-1. Dante Moore is 11-1. Arch Manning is 7.5-1. CJ Carr, Notre Dame always gets the love, also 7 to 7.5-1.
They're good though. I mean, like, right. CJ Carr is going to be. Look,
by the way, Julian Sain also 11-1. Darian Mensah down of Miami 11-1.
Dante Moore's top, right?
Yeah, Dante Moore and the best odds though is Arch Manning and CJ Carr right now.
Oh, okay. And look, the Arch thing is, if they breeze through their schedule and he puts up monster numbers with Cam, the wide receiving core he has now is so much better than he had last year. That's very plausible. But I just think the Gunner thing is interesting. And again, I know dog fans. Big picture is, let's win another natty, right? That's what we care about. But it would be nice to see him get that kind of recognition if he has that kind of season.
By the way, CJ Carr, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Darian Mensah, Julian Sain, Trinidad Chambliss, Jeremiah Smith. Well, Jeremiah Smith's a wide receiver. So it's all quarterbacks who win the Heisman, basically.
Oh, the Ohio State wide receiver.
Yeah.
Some people say he's the best player in the country.
Big time. And the Jerry Rice adage. I mean, he is that athlete. He is that dude. Josh Hoover from Indiana. He's down there with Gunner. Keelan Russell. If Keelan wins the job at Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then there's a Drew Mestermaker over at Oklahoma State.
Okay. And Hoover, if he throws the ball like Mendoza did, and I'm sure they're going to give him that opportunity, Mike, we know they can put up numbers.
All right, one more time. Trinidad Chambliss, Julian Sain, Darian Mensah, Arch Manning, CJ Carr. You had any feelings about a Falcon quarterback for next year? I mean, those – now, again, so right now, there's your list. Who's going to have the season where – because if Drew Aller comes out a year earlier, he's in the top 15. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller, obviously, he gets hurt. Penn State implodes, and then he winds up going later to the Steelers.
Yeah.
But you never know.
No, and that's the thing.
But the perception is it's a quarterback draft next year.
No, it's as good as it's ever been. And then you're leaving out Lenore Sellers, and there's a bunch of other guys.
I love his game.
Yeah, man.
Over you, around you, through you.
Brandon Sorsby, Mike, will be in this draft because of what happened with him. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of guys. But, man, we just got to figure what we got out. What do we have? And let's figure that out before we start thinking about that. Hey, man, coming up, Mike, what do we have in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this. A heartbreaking loss in Williamsport in the Little League World Series. We'll tell you about this and a rule that a lot of people say, can't you change it for the World Series? We'll explain. And folks at Vacation down on the Panhandle, you're not going to like this. A landmark is gone. We'll explain.